Online, on the app, and on your smart speaker, it is Taunton's 107.8 Tone FM. It is the community connection with me, Patch Jobson, until 10 o'clock this morning. And I've been looking forward to this interview since we got the confirmation, because joining me on the line now is one of our first ladies of folk music here in the UK. It's lovely. Say hello to Kate Rusby. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's lovely. How are things? How have you been?
I've been absolutely fine, actually. I think things are quite busy, obviously, because the tour has begun, and the album 30 Happy Returns is going to be released on the 6th of May. So it's all kind of all a bit crazy at the moment. It's the crazy blurry bit before an album. That's what's going on. but great fun. Yes, thank you.
It sounds absolutely wonderful, I have to say. Now, we're going to come on to the album and the tour later on, but let's just address one thing, shall we? How many years have you been a professional musician now?
Oh, it is 30 years. I can't believe it. I keep doing the maths, you know, and keep going back going, really, is it really another 10 years since we did the 20 album? And actually, it is true, because my youngest daughter, Phoebe, was born towards the end of the recording of 20, actually. So I'd sung most of the songs on 20 with her in my belly. And then she was born and had to come straight to the studio with me, you know, to finish all the bits off and everything. So, and she's just about to be 10. This month, actually, end of this month. So I know, yes, I can confirm it's officially 30 years, which is crazy.
It does seem like time has just flown past, doesn't it? Now, if we just take you right the way back, where did this all start for you? Where was the moment where you suddenly stood there and went, this is going to be something, this is going to be my career for the next 30 years? Was there a light bulb moment like that, or did it just happen gradually?
I always look back on it and feel that it chose me rather than the other way around. I remember at school, you know, all my school friends, you know, even as young as like choosing GCSEs and things, all my friends seemed to have this really clear notion of where they were going and who they were going to be and what they were going to do in life. And I kept going around going, how do you know? I thought, have you just guessed? Or, you know, because I had no idea what I was going to do. So I just took the subjects that I enjoyed, you know, which were like biology and art. I did drama and music as well, and all sorts of things, you know, and then thought, but I still don't know what I'm going to do. And then after I'd finished my GCSEs, I went to Barnsley College to the performing arts course that we have here. It's absolutely brilliant. And at the time, it was in a space called the Electric Theatre. Mm-hmm. And you could and you did a bit of everything there, a bit of drama, dance and technical side of things, and also music. But I chose to major in drama, you know, because I thought, I've done a little bit of all the others, because my dad was a sound engineer back then. So, you know, I'd kind of done a bit of all the other things, and I've always danced since being really young. So I took the drama, you know, but even there, you know, I kind of bimbled along, really enjoyed my time there. It was absolutely fabulous. But it was just towards the end of that, actually, end of that course I was doing, when I was sat in my parents' garage with a piano, a really old piano that was in my mum and dad's house, but it really stank. I don't know where my dad got it from, but it like stank of old pubs and beer and smoke, you know. So my mum was like, get that thing out of here. So I used to go into the garage, I followed it, you know, and I would sit at the piano just making up chords and singing songs. And that's what I used to do back then. My dad taught me three chords on the guitar, and I just taught myself the rest and made stuff up, you know. So I was always singing, you know, always doing all that kind of side of things. Both my parents sing and play and have been involved in the folk scene for years. But there I was sat in the garage, and a family friend called Kate Atkinson was working at the Home Firth Folk Festival around that time. And she stuck her head in the garage and said, oh, you've got quite good at that. Do you fancy doing a spot at the festival? And I was, my head nodded, you know, but inside I was going, what are you saying? So, but anyway, I went and did it. It got nearer and I was dreading it. And I turned up with my little Roland EP7E keyboard and this massive red Guild guitar that was on loan from our good friend, Willie Russell, the playwright.
Yes.
Him and my folks have been friends for years. So I was playing this, you could hardly see me behind it because I'm so tiny. But anyway, I went on and I did this gig and just vowed I was never going to do it again. I think I was even possibly sick before it. I was so nervous. and just sung my slot, you know, half an hour, whatever it was, and came off and went, well, I'm never doing that again. That is just the most scary thing in the world. And about half an hour later, Alan Bierman from Sidmouth Folk Festival sidled up and said, I quite enjoyed that. Do you fancy coming down to Sidmouth and doing us a slot? You know, we'll give you a ticket for the week if you do. I was like, and again, my head was nodding away. I was going, shut up, you've just said you're not doing it. So anyway, off I went to Sidmouth, and the same thing just kept happening. You know, people kept saying, oh, do you want to come here? And all of a sudden I had some folk clubs in then, you know, and like floor spots first, I would go around and do that. And then my own evening, you know, and more festivals. And it just really organically grew and grew. And I kept thinking, I'll go to university next year. I'll have a year out and see what happens, you know, and I'll go. I have no idea what I would have studied at all. But like I say, it just, I look back and just go, it was not planned. It was just a real organic thing.
And here you are 30 years later, still doing it, and you're still touring the country. You're still pushing the albums out through your own label. It must be fantastic, as you said, to look back and know that you created that all organically. Now, with what you just said there, one of the elements that really intrigues me, I love your music, I love folk music, but in the last, shall we say, decade or so, there's been a real crossover, hasn't there, from folk artists kind of creeping into the mainstream with the likes of Seth Lakeman and your music as well, and it's become more and more popular, hasn't it? Have you found that over the years you've found new fans coming to your shows that maybe 20 years ago wouldn't have come?
Yes, but I also think that the folk scene in general has had a bit of a resurgence and a growth and is more accepted to normal, say normal people. Yeah, but when I first started out, you know, there was only a handful of us younger end really playing, and of course we were all the kids of the original folk revival people from who were around in the 60s, you know. So there was like me, and there was Eliza Carthay and Nancy Kerr, there was Catherine Tickell and people like that, you know. So there's only a handful of us who were that kind of younger end. But I think what happened was, you know, younger people started coming to watch as well, because there was this young person playing. So people were intrigued, you know, so people our own age had started to come along. And then, you know, they picked up their instruments and they thought, oh, well, if they're doing it, I might give this a go, you know, and it kind of grew a little bit like that. And now, of course, we've all had kids as well. So there's another generation coming through, you know, all these amazing young, talented youngsters. And with each person that kind of comes into it, and you know, they give it their own feel and their own slant, and therefore bring in more people.
No, of course. Well, what we're gonna do is we're gonna take a little break now, and we're gonna play one of the tracks from your brand new album, which we'll talk about on the other side. Do you want to introduce the track we're gonna play?
Yes. So this is a song called We Will Sing. It's a happy May Day song, and it also features heroes of mine, Ladysmith Black Mambazo, and they are amazing.
Summer rain.
Wasn't that just fantastic? We will sing from our guest today and Ladysmith Black Mambazo. Kate Rusby, that was amazing.
Oh, they are just absolutely stunning. And it is a real dream come true moment for me, because ever since I first recorded that song years and years ago, I can't actually remember what album it was on. But even at the time that we were actually in the studio recording it, I could hear them. I could hear them singing it. And for years, you know, as we've been touring around, whenever I've played that song live, I always ask the audience if they could join in on the We Will Sing bits, you know. And I'll say, and also while you're at it, could you sound a little bit like Ladysmith Black Mambazo? Because I hear them in my head every time I sing it. It's so weird. And, you know, it gets a laugh and everything, but people do, and they join in, and it's great. I've had great fun with that song over the years. But then when we came to actually record it for this 30 album, a great friend of mine called Eddie Barkan, who used to run Cambridge Festival, he also books for our festival now at Underneath the Stars Festival. And you know, I was talking to him about it, and he said, well, I know one of their guys, you know, do you want me to ask? And I was going, blooming heck, really? I said, of course ask, but there's no way they're going to do it. I'm just a little curly girl from Barnsley, you know. But anyway, he rung me and he said, Kate, they're really excited about doing it. And I was going, what? So I was just blown away. You know, they'd gone away and done a bit of research and really liked what we did. So they were really up for it. So they recorded their bits in South Africa and all sorts of things. Yeah, you can even watch a video. If you go to YouTube and type in We Will Sing, it's actually there now as well. And yes, you can see them in all their glory. They are just, they're like sunshine in a bottle, aren't they? They're just amazing.
Totally.
Delighted. Totally.
That, and for you to be able to, you know, fulfill that dream of performing with them, it just proves, doesn't it? It's not necessarily what you know, it's who you know, in the right
exactly.
place and in the right place and right time. But that brings us nicely onto your new album. It comes out on the 6th of May and it's called 30, Many Happy Returns. It's coming out on your own record label. And you've got some guest list on this album because you are working with the likes of Richard Hawley, Katie Tunstall, Beth Nielsen Chapman, and the Royal Northern Sinfonia. This must have been a dream to produce for you.
It was. It's been so lovely. And I think I've mentioned the 10 and the 20 album that we did, and both of those are kind of in that same ilk, really. You know, having a retrospective look at songs I've done in the past and then doing completely brand new versions of them as if we'd done them now, you know. And because we'd done the Hand Me Down album 2 years ago and we recorded that in lockdown, you know, I mean, it was the plan anyway, but we had to change the way that we recorded as well. So the sound of that was a lot more modern than my other albums, I feel. I mean, it was edging that way a little bit anyway. We've been doing a lot of experimenting with sounds and delays, and our bass player, Duncan Lyle, has a Moog, you know, the primitive synthesizer
thing.
Wow,
yes, yeah, fantastic.
So, yeah, so that's been the base of a lot of songs recently. So the 30 album was kind of a bit of a culmination of all those things, really. So we recorded it in the same way that we recorded the Hand Me Down album. And with when you record in lockdown, obviously people can't come to the studio. So we got a dab hand of being able to link up with other people in their own studios, be they in South Africa or America or wherever they are. You know, technology is just amazing. So yes, it was just unbelievable. And one of the lovely things about doing an album like that is it's not just a retrospective look at the songs, but it's also the places I've been, you know, and the people I've met, and, you know, the other musicians that I've met. And you keep, you know, sometimes you have a real connection with people that you meet, and, you know, you keep in contact with people. So it was kind of like that, you know, like Beth Nielsen Chapman. I've been a fan of hers ever since I was really young, actually, but I've met her at quite a few festivals, and, you know, she's absolutely hilarious. She's brilliant. And Katie Tunstall as well. I met Katie Tunstall at the Jules Holland TV show one time, and, you know, people like that. And it's so lovely to knock on their door and say, hiya, how are you doing? Do you fancy singing on this track? You know, and at every turn I was just thinking, there's no way this person's going to say yes. But then they actually did. And It was so lovely. I mean, even Richard Hawley, you know, he's from Sheffield, which is just down the road from us, but he's so busy in that and just so amazing. And, you know, we were thinking there's no way he'll be able to do it, even if he wanted to. But, you know, he rang me up and he said, I'd love to do it, lass. Now then, how are we going to do this and that, you know? And so he came over and, you know, we sung it a few times before he went in to do his bits. And we actually had a power cut, boo. As soon as he arrived, the power went off in the local area. So we just sat in the dark singing it through, you know, and then power came back on. He went in and he just made us all cry. Everybody in the room was just crying because he sung it so beautifully. So there's real special moments on it, you know, and it's just, yeah, real dream come true moments for me. It's a lovely, lovely album to have done.
It sounds like a real retrospective journey as well, which I know from your perspective, when you're working with folk music and folk musicians, it is that collaboration, isn't it? That's what brings it to life. Now, obviously, along with the album, you are heading out on tour as well, aren't you? You said the tour has already started. Now, from our dates here, a few dates just to make you aware of. You're going to be in Bristol at the Folk Festival on the 29th of April. You're going to be in Exeter on Sunday, the 8th of May at the Corn Exchange. You're then heading to Yeovil at Westlands on the 27th of May, and you're then heading to Barnstable to the wonderful Queen's Theatre on the 29th of May, which is Sunday. You must be absolutely itching to get back out on the road after the last 2 years.
Oh, totally. Yes, it's been so strange. I mean, but we do feel that we've still had a connection with our audience because we started up, I think it was May 2020, we started doing these things that I started to call the singy-songy sessions. And each weekend, me and Damien would set up in the corner of our sitting room, you know, and we'd do another song, you know, for people, and we'd have a bit of a chat, and how is everybody? And, you know, so people would, it was a real interactive thing, you know, once we'd filmed it and put it out there, people were messaging us and how they were doing and, you know, and what that song means to them. And so it was a really lovely, lovely thing to have done that has kept us connected with our audiences, really. So, but like you say, I was absolutely itching to get back out there. And we did a handful of festivals last summer because a lot of them rolled over again. And then we did a few gigs for our Christmas tour, which got shoved back. So we lost some of those dates. So hopefully, fingers crossed, it's going well so far, but it's absolutely so lovely to see people's faces as well. Yes, you know, when yep. you're in street gigs, you can't see, can you? So, no. It's absolutely lovely.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a fantastic year for you. I think there's only one other thing that I'm going to ask you to do for us. Now, taking into account that we are in Somerset, I think today we're going to have to play out with another one of your tracks, which may have had, shall we say, a connection with a certain Jennifer Saunders. Aww. And the wonderful Jam and Jerusalem. I know time's tight, but can you tell us quickly the story about how you ended up providing the theme tune for one of the most loved TV shows in the Southwest that there has been for a long time? And then we shall play it for you.
Oh, lovely. Do you know what? I absolutely loved watching it. It was so lovely and so absolutely hilarious. So years and years ago, I was doing a gig at Sheffield City Hall, and we were playing in the small room called the Memorial Hall, I think. And there is a corridor at the back of that hall, which then backs onto the main hall. And the night that we were playing in the small hall, Aid Edmondson was there with Bottom, that Bottom show he did with Rick.
Yes,
Mayall.
Yeah.
They were in the main hall. So I came, you know, we came off at half time, and I nearly sent this bloke flying because the door opened outwards from our hall. And I looked around and it was Aid Edmondson, and I was going, oh, hello. And he was listening at the door. He had his ear to the door listening to our gig. And we just got chatting. You know that thing again, you get connections with people along the way.
Yes.
So we gave him a CD, you know, and he was saying, oh, I'd love to do what you were doing. And I was going, oh, I'd love to do what you were doing as well. I love comedy. And we just became friends, you know. And then when Jennifer was actually writing Jam and Jerusalem, she was listening a lot to my music. You know, she said that she chooses albums, you know, to write to. So my music then became a bit ingrained in the series. So she got in touch and asked me if I would record that Kink song to be the theme tune. But they used loads of my music through both of the series.
They
as
did.
Well. then they had us actually play at the daughter's wedding. So we went down, you know, and had the brilliant couple of days filming with them and hanging out with them. It was just what an absolute pleasure. I loved it. And I'm so proud to have been involved in it.
It was an absolutely stunning series. And being a local lad myself, I think it summed up our part of the world absolutely perfectly. And your music just added so much to that. And it just made it very homely and very cozy. So as we come to the end, Kate, would you like to introduce the track for us? And hopefully we'll speak to you again in the future at some point.
Lovely. So this is the theme song for Jam and Jerusalem, and it's a Kinks song called The Village Green Preservation Society.
Society, God save Donald Duck, vaudeville and variety. We are the Desperate Dan Appreciation Society, God save strawberry jam and all the different varieties. Preserving the old ways from being abused, protecting the new ways for me and for you. What more? A good old Mother Riley. We are the Custard Pie Appreciation Consortium. God save the George Cross and all those who are ordered that. We are the Sherlock Holmes English speaking vernacular. Help save Fu Manchu. Cooks and virginity. We are the skyscraper condemnation affiliate. God save Tudor houses, antique shops and billiards. Preserving the old ways from being abused. Protecting the new ways for me and for you. What more can we do? We are the Village Green Preservation Society. God save Donald Duck, vaudeville and variety.